hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having an absolutely blessed day today. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing wonderful. It's about 70 degrees here, and we've got chemtrail skies, but they're clear, sort of. But the weather is absolutely awesome, and it's really nice here. So this is the day the Lord hath made. Whether it's raining, whether it's clear, whether anything, it doesn't make any difference. It is the day the Lord hath made. But a funny story to start with today. Five guys arrested after fist fight at Five Guys. This is the burger place. I used to eat there, but then one day I looked around, and like everybody there was like massively overweight. And I'm not saying they don't have great hamburgers, because they do, but the whole reality is this, is we had five guys arrested about this thing, so it's crazy. In a brief, rather cryptic Facebook post that started to go viral soon after it was posted Wednesday night, the Stewart Police Department said little more than a lunchtime fistfight had broken out, you know, at the Burgers and Fries eatery. This is so funny to me. I mean, you think about what's happening here in this world, how we have people getting in fights now at restaurants. Three juvenile males and two adult males were charged with basically fighting, the department said. The Florida law, it says the fighting is a first-degree misdemeanor charge, resulting in two or more people fighting in a public place, disturbing the peace. Police were called at 12:30 p.m., I mean in the afternoon. A woman who witnessed the incident told authorities that one of the males was talking blank to the other, and a cup was thrown, and the door to the restaurant was slammed in someone's face before an all-out brawl broke out, according to the arrest report the department released on Thursday. Is this a sign of the times or what? Keith Moreno of the Palm City and Lorene Perrine of Stewart, both 18, were arrested and taken to the Martin County Jail. The minors were fingerprinted and booked and later released to their parents. So I got a kick out of this. I mean, how many people get to go to a restaurant and watch a full-blown fist fight incur? I have no idea why they were fighting, but apparently it was something that they felt was really, really important. By the way, Donald Trump now is kind of crawfishing. He had a big rally here in North Carolina this week, and he disavows Senator Batcry. And basically, Omar is still standing defiant, though she shouldn't even be here with her probably 59 IQ from Somalia. But Trump is disavowing it. He is actually stepping back, as they said, against his MAGA promises. President Donald Trump on Thursday chided his supporters. He chanted, "Center back," when he questioned the loyalty of a Somalian-born congresswoman, joining widespread criticism of the campaign. Crowds cry after Republicans warned about political blowback from the angry scene. In a week that has corkscrewed daily with hostile exchanges over race and love of country, Trump also claimed he had tried to stop the chant at a re-election event Wednesday night in North Carolina, though the video shows otherwise. The crowd's "Center back" shouts resounded for 13 seconds as Trump made no attempt to interrupt him. He paused in his speech and surveyed the scene, taking in the uproar. "I started speaking really quickly," he told reporters Thursday. "I was not happy with it. I disagree with it." Wait a minute, that's not what he said. "And would certainly try to stop any similar chant at a future rally." Wow, okay, well, I thought he was the one who told her to go back if she didn't like it. Now he's basically, you know, what's up with this? Oh, that's right, that's right. I know Rothschild's yanked his choker chain. He's got one of those big spike collar choker chains, and whenever he gets a little too far off of his rant path, they've got to snatch him back into place and say, "Okay, heel boy, heel." I mean, that's all you can say about this kind of stuff. I mean, it's almost hard to believe that this kind of stuff goes on. But again, the evangelicals' love affair with Trump continues. I mean, I don't really know what to say about this as far as, you know, how Christians are just absolutely just set on doing whatever Trump says to do. I mean, they're absolutely, you know, in love with Donald Trump. And you say, well, why are they in love with Donald Trump? Well, because he's telling them what they want to hear. Now, think about that for a second, guys. He's telling them what they want to hear. I mean, he's telling them the economy's doing great. We know that it's not. You know, he basically is telling them they're going to get rich because he's president, and a lot of evangelicals also like all the money. He also really dislikes Muslims, and so do a lot of evangelicals, but now he's crawfishing in his meeting in Charlotte. He's also a rabid Zionist, and so are many evangelicals. He's also a warmonger, and so are a lot of the evangelicals. That's why they love him. I mean, think about it for a second. If we're supposed to walk in love, and the world shall know you because you love one another, that's what the Bible says. The world shall know you because you love one another. but yet we are basically wanting to bomb and kill and rape and pillage with our troops and our mercenary soldiers and our Blackwater people that we hire all over the world. And yet we're supposed to be a Christian country that's based on really high values and standards. What's up with that? I mean, let me ask you guys a question. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we're all going to be forced to vote for Trump again or vote for an alternative candidate if they're better. I mean, that's how I look at it. But he's going to win the election. He's going to win it in a landslide because the stock market is rigged. And I talked about this yesterday. The Rothschilds have rigged the stock market. The Rothschilds completely control and manipulate the stock market. And Trump is completely controlled and manipulated by the Rothschilds. So there's no really out for him. As long as the economy is doing well. Remember George Bush Sr. when Bill Clinton was about to take over his place. And, you know, no new taxes, read my lips. He turned around and had a huge tax increase. And he wasn't reelected if that was the real reason he wasn't reelected. He probably just got tired of being, you know, commander chief and clown and all. And, you know, the Bobo Clown Act in Washington. This was George Sr. But the reality is, think through this with me for a second. I mean, he's a figurehead. Trump is not doing what he said he's going to do. No one's talking about the war anymore, over in the Middle East and what's going on with all that, the massive troop buildup we're having. No one's talking about the fact that Kushner's little thing just failed completely over there in the Middle East. No one's even trying to discuss, Austin, what's going on with the 20, 30, 40,000 migrants coming into the country across the border into the U.S. with who knows what types of diseases. No one's talking at all about the problem with 1 in 32 children now coming down with autism. And I'm looking out the window right now, nobody's talking about these chemtrails as far as from the mainstream press. Nobody talks about this stuff. And it's like I said the other day with Steve Pinichek. I mean, you know, he comes out with some really good stuff. But then 20% of what he puts out is just complete and total disinformation. And when you try to ask him about what's going on with the Afghanistan heroin, he completely changes his topic. See, find out who you can't talk about. Then you'll find out who's in charge. Organized crime runs this country, and Donald Trump is a giant crime figure. That's all he is. I mean, that's all he is. He's worked with his mobs and these groups for decades upon decades upon decades, and personally, I believe he's another Rothschild cutout, just like Jeff Epstein. We've talked about this all week. I doubt very seriously he's worth billions and billions of dollars, but he has a billionaire lifestyle because they've afforded him that. I mean, why is it that, you know, that one lady in Arizona, don't get me wrong, what she did was wrong. She has sex with a 13-year-old boy, and she goes to prison, she's 28 years old, for 20 years with absolutely no chance of parole for 20 years. She'll be 48 years old. She had consensual sex with a 13-year-old boy, a statutory rape, and yet she's going to prison for 20 years, yet Jeffrey Epstein raped hundreds of young girls, hundreds, and sold them basically to men and blackmailed people with them. And he gets a slap on a wrist and 12 months back and forth at a country club prison. He gets to spend the night at home and go back and forth, all the other crazy stuff he had. Are you kidding me? What's up with our judicial system? Well, the black magicians and the pedophiles run the planet. That's how it works. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, this is kind of what we're seeing now, is so many times the aspect of the bankers who control them and what they're involved in and how they're above the law. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting, as we've continually seen more and more about this, as Dad was talking about how the pill epidemic in the mid-early 2000s that I saw, and actually in one of my research study cases when I was in my undergraduate degree, I worked at a methadone clinic, which is a compound that's designed to get people off opiates. It was extremely busy, by the way, when I was working there, and this was back in the, it's been 2006 when I did that research study. Anyways, so what we saw was back then, the level of pills that were introduced to the American population were going through the roof. People were getting OxyContin pills, primarily OxyContin, oxycodone, literally for nothing. I mean, I sprained my wrist in the gym. Okay, here's a script, you know, for 10 milligram OxyContin. What we're finding out now is a new, basically, indictment proceedings. Unsealed court documents are showing that the giant pharmaceutical company owned by Sackler purposely deceived doctors and used aggressive marketing tactics to bolster their products. They said that the sealed court documents from 2015 have now been released and made public. The evidence shows that the OxyContin creators knew that the drug had enormous potential for addiction and misuse. A lot of reasons as well because of the controlled release aspect of continuing the opioid receptors to be stimulated for an extended period of time instead of something like Dilaudin, which is going to have, you know, a 1 to 2 hour half-life. OxyContin had like a 6 to 8 hour half-life. And they said not only did the makers of OxyContin market the drug as being less strong than Dilaudin or morphine, the sales representatives were encouraged to say OxyContin could not be abused and was not addictive whatsoever. Kid you not now in this here. There also reports that Purdue Pharma got approval from the FDA to market OxyContin as less prone to abuse because of its extended release formula, even though in research studies they showed that the extended release formula made the product more desirable as far as individuals wanting to use it for longer term because it had an extended release property to it. The extended release formula was allowed Purdue to put a lot more of the drug into actual pill. Users could then bypass the extended release by crushing the pills before use. This made the drug even more prone for abuse. Hundreds of thousands of people have died as a direct result of opioid abuse and OxyContin abuse, while countless others have become addicted to heroin and other opiates thanks to the opiates. So what they're also saying here in this instance is that Purdue and three top executives pleaded guilty in 2016, if you remember that, and even after dozens of doctors lost their licenses for getting kickbacks and overprescribing the drugs, the Sackler family continues to deny the truth about OxyContin, and so now a lot of this stuff is being released. So the aspect of what you're looking at here and what they're essentially saying is that not only did they lie about it, not only did they deceive the public about it, they were allowed by the FDA to produce a drug that was much stronger than any other opioid pill that had ever really been produced for regular usage. They said that it was extended release so they can make it a higher dose. Normally, if you're dealing something with like a morphine tablet like Dilaudin and you've had back surgery or something like that, you would have something like a 2 or 4 milligram tablet. And again, it's got a very short half-life, so it's in and out of the system relatively quickly. Well, OxyContin, Purdue, when they made this product, it did not only have the very, very, very limited restrictions on the milligram dosage, they also were allowed to have it in massive dosages. The biggest OxyContin that I think I know of is an 80 milligram OxyContin extended release, which became an unbelievably huge product on the black market in the late 2000s because of how strong it was. This in turn made people's sensitivity to opioids higher and higher and higher, or should I say less sensitive, so they had to take higher and higher dosages. So that way, when they did not have an OxyContin fix anymore and they were absolutely tremoring and having withdrawals that were unbelievably horrible, they would then switch over to the heroin that happened to flood the market unbelievably aggressively in the mid-2000s, thanks to the fact that when we invaded Afghanistan, poppy production was at virtually nothing in 2001, by the way. Virtually nothing. And the actual size of Afghanistan, poppy production was literally for like personal usage. That was the amount they had there if you do the research on it. To now when they have literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of metric tons being produced every single year. I think it's over. They're saying now it's over 10,000 metric tons. 10,000 metric tons. Not 10 tons. 10,000 metric tons now produced out of Afghanistan. The number one poppy producer in the entire world now, and we still sit over there and pretend we're fighting the invisible war on drugs, or invisible war on terror, I should say, while at the same time, we have the war on drugs here that's an abysmal failure because the drugs keep coming into this country. But just to kind of touch base on it, because Dad brought it up yesterday, but I saw this earlier today, and I wanted to kind of make it clear on what the Sackler family actually did with OxyContin, how they were one of the biggest contributors to the opioid epidemic in this country. They essentially had carte blanche immunity, almost, so to speak. They got fined a little bit and some other stuff, but for what they did and the epidemic that they created in this country that in turn rolled right into the heroin epidemic. You gotta remember, it's a lot easier to get somebody started on an OxyContin tablet. I mean, you're running around, oh here, just take these. Okay, I pop one. Okay, I'm running around, ooh, I'm gonna go lay down, I'm tired. I'm wake up next day and pop one. It's easy to do. Getting people going straight into mainlining heroin's a pretty tough approach for a lot of people. But you start getting people so addicted on a pill, and then you turn around and do what they've done now, and they've contracted the entire production and the distribution of the pharmaceutical pills that are unbelievably difficult to get now. Then people start going over to the black market, which is the heroin, and which is also, by the way, the black market OxyContin that I have multiple reports on that is being produced in black market labs over in India and other places like that, where they're uncontrolled and unregulated labs producing those pills over there and also sending them into the country and the black market area because they have the ability to do so through the heroin trade with all the drugs they're bringing in. So best believe that's why the pills are still the rampant in the United States, and that's why the heroin is becoming more and more and more sought after. But there's so much of it now that very few of these, I guess, dealers, you could say, are having to even cut it. I'm good friends with a lot of sheriff departments in here in Florida, and they're saying that the OD, the overdosing of heroin, is becoming worse and worse and worse in Florida, primarily because they're getting raw heroin, so much of it into Florida now, that the dealers don't even have to cut it. They can sell it raw, and a lot of these individuals are buying this stuff thinking that they have a certain tolerance to it, and they're shooting this stuff up, and they're essentially shooting up straight up raw, pure heroin out of Afghanistan, and they're ODing on it, and it's happening more and more and more. And this is the stuff that Trump needs to be tweeting out. Why are we in Afghanistan while the opiate population or the opiate production and heroin production continues to grow rampant and we've done nothing about it? Imagine if he started tweeting stuff like that, Dad. Imagine if he started putting stuff like that out on his feed. But why doesn't he? Because he's not allowed to talk about the topic that he's not allowed to talk about, only what he's given permission to talk about. And that is a travesty, because we have a president that has an open microphone on social media that could literally change the narrative of the very country we live in right now. If he simply talked about a few topics and brought them up on Twitter, it would wake up the population like we had never seen in this country due to his following and how many people follow him. But he will not do it. And it's sad to see, because I really was hoping he was going to try to make a huge difference in this country. And people say, well, he's got his hands tied with this, he's got his hands tied with that. If he has the ability and the time to sit on Twitter and have tweet arguments with congressional women about where they come from and their stance on the United States, but he doesn't have enough time to talk about the heroin epidemic coming from Afghanistan or the Federal Reserve Bank or Epstein and the pedophilia scandal or any of the other topics that could really get brought up right now, that it's a complete and total obfuscation of what we see going on right now, Dad.
You know what's funny, Austin? Back in the Middle Ages, you know, you had all the kings and the queens, and they ran the planet. They were very open about it, and they'd have a court jester. You know, this would be a clown, and he'd come down and he'd tell jokes or juggle balls or juggle jugs or whatever they were going to juggle, and he would basically entertain the royalty, and he would be the court jester, the court clown. You know, when we have our country now that has been overtaken by the quote-unquote bloodline families, you know, due to the Federal Reserve Bank, and they run the country, and the presidency now, he's become nothing more than a court jester position. That's all he is. Trump is a circus clown act for the entertainment of the masses, like the Wizard of Oz. I mean, you know, Trump is basically, you know, pretending like he's the Great Oz, but there's a man behind the curtain. There's a bunch of men behind the curtains that are probably, you know, way up with the Black Pope and a bunch of other weirdos, and, you know, and the Rothschild family and the Sabbatina Kabbalists and all these other people that are really calling the shots. And what they realized was the United States had stayed away from drugs pretty much entirely until the early 40s. I mean, just there were groups and pockets around the country that people would get drugs or alcohol or whatever, then they would be abusing them or whatever during Prohibition. But what ended up happening is we didn't have the market cultivated. Now, I started talking about this the other day, and my signal got shut down. We'll see if we can get through it this time. Market cultivation is this. Back in the 50s and the 60s, very few people took vitamins. People didn't think they needed to take vitamins because the food was still relatively unprocessed. But what happened is, as people began to realize that the food had been processed, market cultivation occurred, and more people started developing vitamin products that worked, like we did back in the early 80s. And gradually the market got cultivated, and people started to realize that because you're not getting enough nutrients in the food because the crops aren't being rotated and the soil doesn't contain the minerals, you've got to take supplements, okay? So the market got cultivated. Now we have pretty much everybody in the country, probably 90%, takes some type of vitamin. Most of the vitamins don't work because they've been misled, but they take the supplements. This is what they had to do with the heroin and with the opiates. They had to cultivate the market. They had to create a larger and larger and larger demand. After World War II, and during World War II, when the federal government got in bed with Lucky Luciano to control the ports in New York after that one ship was sunk at its moorings, what ended up happening is the government gradually started to work more and more and more with organized crime. And then eventually, they started teaming up with organized crime as far as funding black operations. That's what the book Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, the Mafia is all about. And gradually, each of these different organizations became just more and more and more corrupt. The Sackler family is a Rothschild cutout. It's another billionaire boys club deal, guys. That's all it is. Somebody's got to fund all of this expansion to make these guys worth, quote, billions of dollars, if they're even worth billions of dollars. And they were used as a cutout because Rothschild doesn't want their name on it. You know, we talked about this years ago on the show. If it was Rothschild 5 and 10, Rothschild Service Station, Rothschild Walmart, Rothschild Amazon, Rothschild Facebook, Rothschild, you'd be like, heck with the Rothschilds. I'm not going to support these nuts anymore. You wouldn't do it. You say, heck with it. I'm not going to do it. And this is the problem. They use cutouts. They allow themselves and allow other people to come in, and they fund them with huge amounts, unlimited amounts of capital, so they can expand, expand, expand. They can lose billions of dollars. It doesn't make any difference. They're printing the money out of nothing anyhow. They can lose all of this money and continue to keep going. Jeff Bezos says, oh, yeah, Amazon's losing billions of dollars a year, but he's supposed to be worth $100 billion. I mean, what the heck? What's that all about? Okay? If you ever listen to him talk one time, you know he didn't do it on his own. The guy's a moron. I mean, the same thing with Musk. You know, Musk guys would get on the doggone Joe Rogan show and talk about smoking dope. I mean, he's supposed to be a billionaire too. I mean, what the heck? These guys are all cutouts. They're being put in position of authority and power as the figureheads for these organizations that are all controlled by the international banking community. The international banking community, along with the top mafia people, are outrunning the doggone drugs into the United States and globally. This is why Donald Trump is the court jester for the United States. Now you guys are all pro-Trump, pro-Trump. I got that. But you got to remember, guys, he pushed this lady to be basically thrown out of the country last week, and now he's telling everybody not to say anything about it at the meetings anymore. Why? Because this is what he does. He does what he's been told to do. I mean, his love affair with the gay, transgender community is completely being ignored by the entire patriot Christian community. Let's take a look real quick at the Sackler family. I'm going to read you from Wikipedia, so don't make any comments. I don't want to hear it, what I'm going to say right now. I'm reading you the Wikipedia page. The Sackler family are Jewish descendants of Isaac Sackler and his wife, Sophie Lee Greenberg, immigrants to the United States from Galicia, now Ukraine, and Poland, who established a grocery business in Brooklyn. The couple had three sons, Arthur, Mortimer, and Raymond Sackler, who each went to medical school and became psychiatrists. Of course they did. Now, they're more Jewish psychiatrists out of New York. I've met a bunch of those on cruise ships. They were a bunch of weirdos. In 52, the brothers bought a small pharmaceutical company, Purdue Fredericks. Okay, where'd they get the money to buy the pharmaceutical company, okay? Just thought I'd mention that. After his death in 87, his option of the third of the company was sold by his estate to his two brothers. Their private company, now known as Purdue Pharma, introduced OxyContin in 1996. That's funny. Where'd they get that from? A version of oxycodone reformulated in a slow-release form. It's like Austin said, misbranded and heavily promoted, oxycodone is seen as a key drug in the emergence of the opioid epidemic. Elizabeth Sackler, daughter of Arthur Sackler, claimed that her branch of the family did not participate or benefit from the sales of narcotics. The family is the first... There you go. I'm reading you from Wikipedia, guys. Look at yourself. The family was first listed in Forbes' list of America's richest families in 2015. And you can go ahead and just go ahead and do all of this. You know, Mortimer Sackler obtained British citizenship and renounced his American citizenship. Okay, it's gone and all. You just read about all of these whack bags. Guys, this is a group of people that are... They're probably Sabbatean Kabbalists. I am saying that as a... That my opinion that does not say that in here. They don't care about what they do or who they do, and this is just what these people are involved in, and it's not going to get any better with these guys because, quite frankly, they're basically low life. They're billionaire low life, whatever they are, and they've made their money through enslaving the population of the United States, tens of millions of people, into heroin. Because they cultivated the market. And it was done on purpose to allow a huge heroin growth curve to allow the people, 50, 60, 70 million now using opioids in the United States, to become disabled mentally, physically, spiritually. I mean, this stuff is unbelievable what it does to you. I mean, my dear friend, Doug Hagman, his son just died of a heroin overdose a few weeks ago. My wife's brother died of a heroin overdose 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. This is what happens when you get this stuff involved. Another friend of mine, John Friend, his son just died of a drug overdose a few weeks ago. I mean, I've got another friend who basically son was involved with drugs. He died at 42. All of this stuff, and this is just me personally that I know personally. And I guarantee you, all of you are listening, you've got somebody who's been touched by this. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. This is the opium wars that Great Britain did back in the 1800s in China. They've taken that same formula, same marketing protocol, and they've put it here. The problem is the American population is so gullible. They were taught for years and years and years that their doctors were mini gods with a little G.
Yep.
And they could do no harm. Now, I'm telling you, they run around with their stethoscope around their neck, which is like their holy cross. They run around with their uniform, which is like their clergy outfit with their white robes. And the people are taught, this is God. This is God. He has the power of life and death on this planet. He's God with a little G. He's your medical doctor. And they believed them. And so then these medical doctors start pushing the medical doctors start slinging the dope. That's about as clear as I can make it. Start slinging the dope, not thinking about the side effects, and now we have tens of millions, close to 100 million people using these products on a regular, semi-regular basis, and tens of thousands dying every year from heroin overdoses, so bad that on Colonial Highway in Orlando, they call it Heroin Highway. But one more topic I want to talk about, so I talked about this a second ago, is President Trump's pandering to the gay mafia a political ploy? The president of the United States should be very careful feeding the gay bigots, brutes, and bullies who want to bite off his hand. And, you know, think about this for a second. This is an article that I'm reading here from The Pipeline. It says, President Trump knows better than pander to the LBGTQ, whatever, Q. But listening to advisors, he's chosen to throw the homosexual lobby a bone and not realizing they will never be satisfied. They are not interested in a bone. They want to chomp on the hand that threw it. Anyone with his ear to the ground, his eye on the ball, and half a brain tied behind their back knows the LGBTQ crowd consists primarily of national bullies, brutes, and bigots. Trump will never be able to satisfy that crowd, since they will only be satisfied when the debate is shut down and no one has the courage or the opportunity or legal right to question them about their unhealthy, unnatural, and unwise practices. Guys, this is a good article, and I posted it on the Health Masters website, and we need to realize this is what's going on all over the place right now in the United States. While Donald Trump is tweeting about throwing somebody out, he's also putting a pro-homosexual, you know, ambassador to Germany. He said he's like the most pro-homosexual, gay, homosexual, positive, you know, president that's ever been in the history of the world, and he wants to go down as that as one of his final things that he does. And nobody wants to talk about it. He basically is pro-gay marriage, pro. And Donald Trump, all hail Donald Trump, Sieg Heil Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? You guys open your eyes. He's not who he says he is. He's a Christian who uses God's name in vain all the time. And good grief, I'm not going to say that, you know, I've never used a bad word in my whole life, but my gosh, this guy, he makes Harry Truman look like a Boy Scout. This guy loves cuss. He makes Nixon look like a guy who's a Boy Scout. I mean, this guy's a foul mouth. And he screws porn stars, and he's friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, come on, guys. He got bailed out by Wilbur Roth with the Rothschild banking cartel. Really? Multiple bankruptcies. Won't divulge his personal assets. Won't divulge his personal finances. I mean, he's a serial adulterer. I mean, we're supposed to be like, oh, we didn't hire him because he was a Christian or a Boy Scout or he was a pastor. No, I know he didn't, guys. But don't say he's something that he's not. That's all I got to say. You call a heathen. That's it. That's what they are. They're heathen. Now, if he wants to accept Jesus Christ, he wants to change his life, he wants to get out underneath the boot of the Rothschild banking cartel, okay, we got that. But I guarantee you, he starts talking about what you said a few minutes ago, Austin. He starts talking about what's going on with Afghanistan and the 10,000 metric tons and all this stuff's happening. The stock market will crash instantaneously, and he will not be reelected in 2020. Why? Because he's telling the truth. And his personal finances will be called, and the banks will come in and seize his assets, and he'll leave the White House embarrassed and ashamed, broke, and not flying around on a personal jet anymore, unless he gets his money basically doing campaign speeches, which he may do that too. But guys, it's just one of those deals. This is not what we sold. This is not what we bought ourselves into with Donald Trump. Now, don't get me wrong, I keep getting hearing the excuse, well, at least he's not Hillary Clinton. All right, good. You're right, he's not. But come on, guys. We can't be compromising like this. By the way, Franklin Graham actually impressed me by saying that, warning that the Equality Act would be catastrophic for Christians if it becomes a law. The Equality Act, a bill that would add sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes under federal civil rights law, would be catastrophic for Christians and churches if it becomes law. Graham, in a recent op-ed for Decision Magazine, warned that the bill, which was introduced by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, surprise, surprise, career politician, family mafioso of Nancy Pelosi, in March, would grant the same protections afforded to racial minorities and women under the Civil Rights Act to the LGBTQ, whatever you want to call them, community, causing significant legal problems for Christians who hold a worldwide biblical view. He said, he noted that Democrats get control of the Senate and the White House, the bill is likely to become law. Guys, that means if you go out and you say, we don't believe in homosexuality, like we just did, the Bible says it's wrong, you're going to be prosecuted under federal hate laws. You're probably going to get jail time. If you have one of these guys come up to you and say, I'd like to screw your little son, and you hit him upside the head, you beat him half to death, you're going to prison. And you say, well, why would you go to prison? Because, number one, he didn't screw your little son. He just said it to you because he thought it would be cute to say it to you, and you got mad because you're an alpha male and you knocked him out. You're going to go to prison for hate laws. You persecuted him. So he can walk up to your little son and say all kinds of weird stuff to him, and you're going to stay there and go, he doesn't mean what he says, little son. He doesn't mean that. Ignore him. And the little son goes, why is he saying this, Daddy? Daddy, why aren't you saying something back to him? I can't, son. If I say anything back, I'm going to prison. Years ago, I'll tell this story to you guys. Austin was 8 or 9 years old, and we were in Houston. Austin remembers it like it was yesterday. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon and I walked into it. We had Austin with us, and Sharon was looking at some ridiculously overpriced Versace jeans at a Versace store. This is 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And it's going to make me sound like a redneck, but I guess I am kind of a redneck sometimes. I try not to be, but sometimes I am. But I was a lot younger. I was in my 30s when this happened, maybe 41. I was doing the seminars, and I was had a big TV, had a big radio show there that day, that morning. So we go to this Versace store, and we walked in. I wasn't planning on buying anything because they're too expensive. It's ridiculous. But we were at this big mall in Houston. I think it was the Galleria. And we walked into the store, and there were like two parts of the store, two stores with a wall cut out of the middle. And the guys had basically had a sign up on the wall, a big poster up on the wall, with two gay guys like in an embrace about to kiss. And Austin looked at me, and he's like 8, 9 years old, and he says, Dad, what is that? And I said, that's it. I said, Austin, that's a bunch of weird sicko perverts. Don't pay any attention to that. Just ignore it. And about that time, I told Sharon. I said, Sharon, we are now leaving because this place should have some type of sign on the door that they're basically promoting gay porn. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, let's go. And then the sales girl looked at me, and Sharon says, will you please tell my manager, because he's the one who put it up. And so many people have walked out of the store because of this sign, this poster. It's a big, like, 3x4 foot poster on the wall. And I said, sure, I'll talk to him. So the guy comes over, and this guy's a flamer. I mean, he could have torched on. He was so queer, it was unbelievable. I mean, he was just a straight smoking, just flamer. And he walked over all prissed out, and he looked at me, and he goes, what do you mean about it? You know how they talk. I can't mimic that. And I said to him, I said, dude, I said, look, I don't care what your lifestyle is. I don't care that you're a flamer. I said, I don't care what you are. It means nothing to me. But when you put this stuff on the wall and my 8 or 9 year old son has to talk about it or has to look at it and I have to try to explain it to a child under the age of 10, I said, that's wrong. You need to have a poster that you've got gay porn on the wall here. He starts yelling at me, and I got right back on him. Austin was there. And anyhow, it ended up almost in an altercation, but it didn't. I had enough sense to know that I was in another city, another town, whatever. And I walked out. If I had done that same thing, if this law passes, this Equality Act, I would have been arrested for hate speech and a hate crime. Now, you think about that for a second. Now, you say, well, Ted, God, well, you got to remember, I was in my 40s. I had enough. Austin was young. I didn't realize how unbelievably gay Houston is, as are most major cities, including Orlando and Atlanta. I didn't realize how gay it was. As is New York, as is Key West, as is San Francisco, as is Oregon, as is Portland. I mean, all these places are like that. I didn't realize it. Now, you think that maybe that was overreaction on my part? Whatever. But at least I took a stand to try to explain to my 8-year-old son what the heck that meant. And I guarantee you, if Austin went into a store right now with Hunter, and Hunter was 7 or 8 years old, and he saw the same thing, Austin would do the same thing that I did. Because if you train them up the way they should go, they'll not depart from it. Guys, we can't tolerate this. Sodom and Gomorrah got it wrong. That's why they're not around anymore. I'm going to repeat that. Sodom and Gomorrah got it wrong. That's why they're not here anymore. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. We can't support this type of behavior. And Donald Trump is the most pro-gay, pro-lesbian, pro-gay marriage president we've ever had. Even more so than Barack Obama, who was queer. I mean, my gosh. Wake up, America. Wake up. Donald Trump is the court jester, period. What do you think, Austin?
It's definitely some crazy stuff, but I remember that incident over there. And the issue is now is that with this political correctness that we've seen, and this is why I tell everybody on the show all the time, stop the political correctness. Stop it. Don't comply with it. Because when you comply with it, you're showing submission to their behavior. Just understand that. When you comply with them with political correctness, you are showing them you are being submissive to their behavior. You are being submissive to their demands. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. When you have somebody that's blatantly involved in a perverted lifestyle, if they want to do it in the privacy of their home, again, it's not my right to go in their home, bust in their door, and say, you can't do this. That's not right either. I can't say that that's right. Maybe a sin, but I don't have the right to do that. However, when they want to blatantly do something in public that is offensive to me, I have every bit of the right, just like they do, to call them out for being offensive. That's the problem that we're in right now. They want to do all their perverted lifestyle in the middle of the street now, in the middle of their gay parades that we saw in Washington, D.C. last month, and then if you say anything about it, you're a bigoted, racist, homophobe, and you need to go to jail according to this new law. That's the issue, guys. There's no tolerance on one side or on both sides. They want you to be fully tolerant, fully submissive, and completely and totally embracing of their lifestyle, but when you don't support what they do, they completely melt down, have a conniption fit, and basically demand you get arrested. That is the problem. There's not a balance on both sides. There's complete and total control on their side, and they want you to be submissive. I don't like that. It's like 300. When the beginning of it, when that guy Persian comes over and he basically starts telling him what he's going to do and he's going to kneel for Leonidas and all that stuff, and he goes, yeah, see, I got a real problem with that. You know, I'm not really into this whole form of submission to Leonidas. And he gets in that big brawl with him and they kick all those guys in that hole. That's the attitude that we have to start getting here. We can't keep going, well, you know what? We don't want any conflict with them. We don't want any issues with them. We just need to, you know, we just need to all be chill and be nice and be tolerant of it. No. If there's no tolerance on their end, then there's zero tolerance on my end. That's the way it's got to start being. We can't be tolerant of somebody that is incredibly aggressive and just flat out belligerent and militant about their ideology. It does not work that way. Anyways, and other news as well, this is great news. Netflix is losing subscribers hand over fist. Just in the second quarter of 2019, they have lost over 133,000 additional U.S. subscribers. Now, Netflix is, again, one of the companies that I have been very, very boisterous about. Not only do they massively promote the gay and lesbian and transgender agenda, they have produced some of the most disgusting filth to ever be produced for a television show. Netflix is becoming disastrous. Their sales are dropping. They already lost, I think, where to say on here, 10% of their total stock value when this report was released earlier this week. They're losing literally over 130,000 subscribers a quarter now, and their forecast for global, as far as global forecast, has dropped out significantly. This is because Netflix is producing some of the most disgusting filth you can possibly come up with. Their summary as far as what they're doing now is unbelievably hardcore left, politically correct, this woke activist, radical social engineering, social war, occult elite ideology. It's horrible. I canceled Netflix, almost 3 years ago, I think, now. And people said, why'd you cancel it? I'll tell you the story again very briefly. I have. We used it semi-regularly. We would watch movies. It was right after Hunter was born. He's very young. He's a couple months old. And so we were watching it, and a lot of the movies on there were horrible, to be honest with you. They had very poor selection. They had these TV shows, these Netflix series that came out. Most of them were horrible. They were so bigoted, and they were so unbelievably disgusting with the agendas they put in them. Almost every single Netflix series has blatant homosexual behavior in it. Almost every single one you will watch now. Or it has an unbelievably hardcore underlying agenda pushing it. And so all of a sudden, you know, most of the movies I'm watching, we're watching like action movies, adventure movies, you know, cop movies, stuff like that on there. And then all of a sudden one day I turn on Netflix, and at the very, very top, you know, it's got the columns of the different genres of movies. You got action, you got adventure, you got horror, you got drama. Very, very, very top, the very top, first one that comes up was gay and lesbian films. And I went, that's odd, because me and Lana don't watch gay and lesbian films, and those are supposed to basically go on the top there as far as what your most watched films. And for the longest time I had Netflix, it was always like action adventure movies at the top. And I went, okay, that's odd. So we were scrolling through the movies or whatnot, and we ended up not even watching anything. No, we didn't scroll through the gay and lesbian, we scrolled through some other movies. I turned it off, and we turned it on the next night. I was tired, it had been a long day. Turned it on again, bam, straight to the top, gay and lesbian films. I said, okay, this is it. I'm done. I'm calling them up to figure out what's going on. So I called up Netflix, said, hey, you know, I'm paying you guys, you know, $8.99 a month for your services. I'm a customer. I've been with you guys for quite some time. I'm formally requesting that you block the gay and lesbian film genre, the entire genre of those films I want to block. I have a child in the house. I don't want these films up there. And they said, well, we can't do that. We can't block it. I said, well, wait a minute. And I said, every single other company that I know has parental controls. And they said, well, yeah, you can block parental controls if you want to block, like, R-rated movies or stuff like that. And I said, okay, fine. I want to block gay and lesbian films. Well, you can't do that. That's not an option on the parental controls. I said, okay, I want the gay and lesbian films dropped all the way to the bottom. I don't want to see them. Oh, we can't do that either. They're based on your movie preference and your selection. I said, oh, that's odd. I said, because almost all the films we watch on here are action adventure. I said, we've never even clicked on a gay and lesbian film. So how in the world did the algorithm kick it to the top of the list? Well, sir, it's just based on whatever your film preference is. I said, no. You know what's based on my film preference? Not paying you $8.99 a month to produce filth and put it at the top of the list. I want my services canceled immediately. She goes, excuse me? I said, I didn't stutter. Cancel my Netflix. So she canceled it. Then I called up my credit card company, and I had them file a chargeback on the last 3 months of Netflix. I'm telling you guys this right now, because I did not approve of their services, and I was disappointed with the quality that they had given me. At that point in time, I was no longer going to contribute to their company. And I did. And that was the end of me and Netflix. And, of course, a lot of people are doing that now. That is the resolve that we have to start having. Same thing with Starbucks. Same thing with Target. These companies that are blatantly hardcore leftists, that are pushing the communist agenda, we can't give them our money. If we continue to give them our money, that means we're blatantly supporting their agenda. We're blatantly saying, hey, we like your transgender agenda being pushed on my 5-year-old child. We like that. I'll give you more money so you can keep doing that, okay? That's exactly what we're doing. We cannot continue to support companies like Netflix when they produce. I mean, here, you guys are like this. I pulled an article up earlier on it when Netflix got heard about this. They came out with a show called 13 Reasons Why. Of course, 13, right? It's a Netflix television series on the suicide of a 17-year-old high school girl. Well, in May 2019, the Journal of American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry released a report asking that 13 Reasons Why be restricted to a mature audience because they've seen a direct increase in the monthly suicide rates among U.S. youth aged 10 to 17 since the television show has been released in the middle of 2017. I kid you not, you read the study. They said the show has been directly associated with a 28.9% increase in suicide rates among young people directly following its release. The number of deaths by suicide recorded that month were greater than the number seen in any single other month during the 5-year period examined by the researchers. If you look at this show, it is unbelievably occultish. It goes into the dark, dark, dark world of suicide, and on top of that, it glamorizes
glamorizes it, and it shows it essentially depicting this teenager who commits suicide as this post-death vigilante hero, and she needs to have suicide, all these suicide incidences happen to create this great drama of all these great things that she's doing, and essentially she's the hero of the show when she committed suicide. It was so much that Netflix was forced to edit one of these suicide scenes, the graphic suicide scene, a few days ago now, because of this report that the psychiatric institution brought out. Now, they said, we're basically going to edit this scene out of one of the shows because it's so graphic and it's geared towards high school students. This is the filth Netflix produces. Cut them off. That's all I have to say on that, Deb.
Atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. Repeat it. Mm-hmm. Atavistic hatred of Jesus. Long-term, thousands of year generational hatred of Jesus Christ and everything Christianity and Christian values stand for. Quite frankly, they hate Christians. They hate white people. I can't be. And they hate black patriots and they hate Hispanic patriots. They hate everybody who's not willing to follow their agendas, not willing to comply. That's why what Donald Trump has done more for gun control than Barack Obama ever did in the United States already. Yes, I mean these red flag confiscation laws all over the United States. Donald Trump's directly responsible for that. I mean, he did this. I mean, Barack Obama could have never gotten that through, but Trump did it because he did it through the back door. He did it with that with Gay Bubble Boy, Mario Rubio. I mean, he did it with all these guys. You have to understand what this is. We have been hoodwinked into believing that Donald Trump. I don't believe it anymore. I told after a year of Donald Trump pulling all this crap and putting all these Goldman Sachs people in on his cabinets, et cetera. I said, you know, I'm getting off this Trump train. I've been trying to be patient with him, but it's not really working. With a little over a year, I was off the train and sitting on the tracks waiting for the train to leave. And finally, I told you guys, train has departed. I'm off. Now, when he does something right, I'll talk about it. When he does something wrong, I'll talk about it. As far as me promoting him, as far as, you know, some kind of person who he said, he's not. He's who they want him to be. He's an actor. He is who they want him to be at this certain time. And he drinks like 14 diet sodas a day. On top of everything else, he's on aspartame. And aspartame contains aspartic acid, which is a brain entrainment molecule for dopamine triggers. I mean, what the heck? Yeah, that's how he goes constantly. Never stop, never stop, never stop, never stop, never sleep. I mean, he's all geeked up all the time on this junk. Guys, this is bad. This thing's a mess. Somebody just texted me a little while ago, said, well, we don't have Donald Trump on our side. Who's on our side? I'll tell you who's on our side. Jesus is on our side. He's God. He's on our side. And God plus one, every time I've ever checked, is always the majority. Let me explain something to you. God, this is something I want to share something with you. And I'm trying to work through this in my own mind. Think about this for a second. If God is omnipresent, why have all these things happened throughout history? Why have they happened? If he knew this was going to happen in the beginning, why didn't he come down and throw a gauntlet down and say, hey, stop? He did. He did throw a gauntlet down and say, stop. You say, well, what do you mean? Why do we have all of this? Let me explain something to you. When Adam and Eve did their little thing in the garden, and they basically gave it over to Lucifer, okay? God had given it to them. Okay? They gave it away. That'd be like me giving you a gift and then you giving it to somebody else. I've got no say-so in that. Unless it's written in a contract beforehand. You know, I can't stop that. You know, unless there's a caveat on you giving it away, but there wasn't one. So Adam and Eve basically gave it over to Lucifer because they wanted to have the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to live forever, which was another big lie that Lucifer gave them because they're as gods. They didn't get that. But here's the thing. God is omnipresent. He saw the timeline that we're in, okay, from the beginning to the end. And he saw what it was doing. He inserted Jesus Christ into the timeline. Are you listening to me, friends? It was planned. He did it. When he saw how it was going to end, he stopped it. He did stop it. When he sent himself via Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, when he sent himself and inserted Christ through the David bloodline into the genome, the human genome here on this planet, he changed the timeline because he is omnipresent. So don't think that he allowed all of this stuff to happen, didn't know what was going on, and he got caught by surprise. He didn't get caught by surprise. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He saw it from the beginning. He inserted it into the timeline himself, Jesus Christ. He saw that what was going on didn't work with the Jews, that they wouldn't stop worshiping their doggone idols and their Asherah poles and their Baal and their Moloch and all the stuff they got from their Canaanite religions that I've talked about in depth on the show. He saw it didn't work. He saw that human beings, by their nature, basically are sinful creatures. He saw that. And he realized that we needed to have some type of redemption put into the play. And that's why he inserted Christ into the timeline, because he is omnipresent. And what was interesting about this is, it says in the Bible that had the God of this age known what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Son of Glory, because they couldn't understand it. Satan couldn't get it because he's not omnipresent. This is why he's doing everything he can to go back in now and create his world over again from Genesis chapter 6 to create an omnipresent relationship with all of us, not a relationship, a dictatorship, to control us, to make every thought evil all of the time. That's why he's doing this through 5G and through chemtrails. These are the real stories. 1 in 32 with autism. Over 50 million addicted to opioids. You know, 20, 30, 40,000 people coming across the border with who know what diseases every single week. You know, the Federal Reserve Bank completely out of control. These nuts running the planet. These are the real stories. It's not the Trump circus jester clown act of Washington, D.C. These are the real stories that nobody wants to talk about. All these people hooked on opioids. The gay and lesbian absolutely just allowing them to come in now and do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, to whoever they want to do it to, and have no moral or spiritual or legal recourse on our end to say we don't like this. These are the real stories. And Trump endorses all of that. He won't talk about the drugs. He won't talk about the autism. He won't talk about any of the stuff that I just mentioned. It's the jester clown act. Keep him entertained. The Americans are so stupid, unless you're listening to this show, they don't get it. Guys, it's so important that you understand this. This is what God did for you through Christ. He inserted Jesus Christ into the timeline. Told everybody at the beginning he was going to do it. Prophesied. Remember, all this, a lot of that stuff was written. Remember, the Bible was written by Moses. Remember that, the Torah. The five first books of Levitical law were written by Moses. Thousands and thousands of years had already passed when this was written on Earth's history. And God inserted the prophecies of Christ coming because he knew he was going to have to do that because he is omnipresent. He did send us a Savior. He did save us. This short time we're on this planet, this little bit of, quote, reality that we get in this holographic generated electronic field that we live in, it's just not real. We got to do the best we can to bring honor and glory to God through this. But guys, we get to leave here and we get to go be with God Almighty, the creator of the universe, for all eternity. Read your Bible. He set it up for us. We're victors. Death has no victory over us. We have the power of the cross, the power of the blood, the power of Jesus. I've given you all these teachings on the blood of Christ, the covenant we have with God, what the blood does. Now I'm giving you the information on the omnipresent timeline. Guys, it was all done by God because he loves you. He loves me. He loves all of us because he created us. We're like kids. You know, Austin now understands what God goes through. He's got children now. You know, a little kid gets sick and you go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? That's how God feels about you, about your family, about your children, about your grandchildren. He loves you that much that he was willing to send himself into a timeline, suffer on a cross on that timeline, which means it can't be changed because he's omnipresent, and allow you to be redeemed from the curse of the law and allow you to become one with God, to be part of the most holy Godhead as far as when you're in heaven and being up there and worshiping God and be part of all that. He cares that much about you. So yes, we're dealing with these momentary things here on this planet. We got aging, we got health issues, we got all the stuff we've got to be concerned about and take care of, and those things are important. But guys, we have won this, and that's why the globalists are doing everything they can to destroy faith in Jesus Christ. They have come into churches now with George Soros as a front for the Rothschilds, the Sabbatean Kabbalist group, and they're paying off mortgages, giving these churches millions of dollars if they but do a few things for them. If they but just don't talk about the blood. If they don't talk about sin. This is what they do. And they worm their way into all of these organizations. This atavistic hatred that you see with Netflix. I had the same thing. I had Showtime. Showtime was given to me when I got my cable many, many years ago. And every time I flipped to the Showtime thing, it was all gay stuff. And I said, what the heck? It was free. Showtime was free. It was promoting the gay agenda. I finally called them up and I said, turn Showtime off. I said, it's all gay stuff. They said, well, it's not all gay stuff. And I said, well, it appears to me to be all gay stuff. And I said, why are you guys promoting this? And why are you giving it for free? So if my kids are here, I don't want this. In fact, just turn off all the primetime channel stuff. Just turn it all off. And finally, last year, I turned it all off. I shut the whole thing down over a year ago now. I said, just give me internet. I don't even want your lousy TV anymore. Guys, all of you need to do that. Listen to me. Shut it off. Do what Austin did. Get rid of Netflix. Just get rid of cable. Just keep internet in the house and be careful on what you watch on that, because you can stream anything you want on that anyhow. You don't need cable anymore with all of their propaganda garbage going through.
Yep.
Read your Bible. Pray every day. And remember, God loves you more than anything else. I'm out of time. I should have started on this timeline to start with. But guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Guys, have a wonderful weekend. You guys are absolutely amazing. I had the opportunity to pray for you guys again today. I'll be on with Hagman tonight. God bless you. Also, go ahead and finish it up. Talk to you guys on Monday.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, and no doubt about it, this is what we have to start doing, is standing firm for what we know to be right and what we know to be true. We don't have the option anymore. Like we've all said, I mean, this is something that one person can't do. But one thing that we have seen is the movement, the awakening, the amount of people in support of the Trump movement has been incredible. And that's what it really is. It's the Trump movement, but it's really the Patriot movement is what it truly should be called, because that's what it is. This is what we have to continue to push and continue to grow and wake as many people up as possible about what's going on. We thank you again for the support of Health Masters. com. We do our best to bring you the highest quality supplements in the world. Be sure to check out all the different sales and specials we have, including the Cortisol Buster right now on Product of the Week for 10% off. Also the Ultimate Multiple Capsules. We have the CBD 3-pack special, the Beet Juice Powder on sale, the Libido Support Kit on sale, which is actually a really popular kit now, to increase natural testosterone levels naturally. So be sure to check all those out on the website. If you need anything, you can email us at healthmasters.com, or you can call us at 1-800-726-1834. And please be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter on our website. We send out different specials. A lot of people asking about coupons and stuff like that. We send them all out on the email. So be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support. Stay awake, stay strong, and we'll talk to you again on Monday as always.